Radio.
Radio.
X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Very warm welcome to the Evening Show podcast with me, Gordon Smart, and producer Vin.
Hello.
It's a lively one this week. Ricky Gervais, what a brilliant guest he was on the show this week talking about his new show, Humanity. As well as that, Frank Turner, the solo artist, huge and loyal following Frank Turner's got. He is on the podcast and classic album chat with Arctic Monkeys and Favourite Worst Nightmare, their second album from 2007. And I think me and Vin have agreed that that's probably our favourite Arctic's album.
You know what? No, I my favourite is the fourth one.
Right.
Suck It and See.
Suck It and See. Yeah. No, I think this
but
one...
But the rest of the list always changes order.
Going back through that album, though, Brian Storm, Teddy Picker, Deep for Dangerous.
It's better than I thought it was, definitely.
I gave it a harsh review at the time. And looking back on it, I feel so guilty because it was so wildly out of line and inaccurate. Anyway, that's the Evening Show podcast lined up for you. I really hope you enjoy this.
Radio.
Radio.
X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
The Evening Show. Classic album of the week.
X.
So every Monday night, I delve a little bit deeper into an album we love here at Radio X. And tonight, I'm thrilled to say it's Arctic Monkeys' Favourite Worst Nightmare, their second album, released in April 2007, nearly 11 years ago. Can you believe that? Number one in the UK, number seven in the US, and it's gone platinum three times. Really seen as the defining moment of the band, showing their success wasn't a one-off. If you think about it, following up from a huge first album, the pressure was on, and they delivered. It was nominated for the 2007 Mercury Prize, and of course, won the 2008 Brit for Best British Album. Remember that Farmer's Acceptance speech? That one. The first album, it's their first album without Andy Nicholson, so Nick O'Malley joined on bass and he left his job behind in Asda. It's remarkable to think he was in Asda. Learned the whole first album in 2 days, then joined the band after breaking his hand a week after getting the gig. I remember him playing actually with a cast on as well. Incredible to do that. So a more mature sound on this album, bit of a change of direction from the youthful sort of indie scratching of the first album, heavier, more ambitious and more complex. The debut, whatever people say I am, that's why I'm not, was ridiculously successful, thinking back to it. So the pressure was on, but they delivered. Alex Turner, you can hear it in this album that he was heavily influenced by Morrissey and their fellow Sheffield legend Richard Hawley, embracing those drawling vocals, and you can hear it in the guitars as well. Features some incredible songs, thinking back to these, right? Brian Storm, Fluorescent Adolescent, Do Me A Favour, 505, Teddy Picker, and the outstanding D Is For Dangerous. The drumming on that is just mind-blowing. So the album was written really, really quickly. The band already had loads of material and were keen to play new stuff live. So they got the album out within a year of starting writing. You think how different, how complex this album is. The fact that they got out a year later is incredible. Just shows their talent. So just like the first album, Matt Helders, son of Clive, friend of the show, showcased his incredible drumming skills. He is amazing on the pots and pans. The breakneck, full-throttle Brian Storm, The Guardian said this, what a brilliant quote this is. If you moved everything from the album except Matt Helders' drumming, it would still be a pretty gripping listen. Now, how many drummers and albums could you say that about? The only one we could really say or think of is the Stone Roses debut. It's an amazing amazement feather in his cap. So Brian Storm was released a week before the album, went to number two, really highly anticipated at the time, and it's kind of like the Monkees' love spreads to carry on that imagery of the Stone Roses, louder, heavier, more evolved than the first album. But Brian Storm, what a tune it was. I think Alex Turner said at the time that it was a bloke they met in Tokyo, a really slippery, smooth sort of Californian businessman, and he said when he left the room we were a bit in awe of this presence, so we did a brainstorm for what he was like, drew a little picture and wrote things about him. And Jamie Cook, the guitarist, said he was right smooth, very LA. He just appeared with a business card, a round neck t-shirt and a tie loosely around it. I'd never seen that before. It felt like he was trying to get inside your mind. What a brilliant Sheffield quote that is. So I love this album. I think it's incredible. Could talk about it all night. It's Favourite Worst Nightmare, Arctic Monkeys. I'm going to play you two songs back to back. I've got an album track that wasn't a single and is definitely, I think it is definitely my favourite artist track, 505. Listen to the lyrics in this. Alex Turner, peak Alex Turner. And I've got Teddy Picker as well. But first, enjoy every second of this. 505.
The Evening Show. Classic album of the week.
X.
I'm going back to 505. If it's a 7-hour flight or a 45-minute drive.
Radio.
Radio
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Let's have a game on a teddy picker. Not quick enough, can I have it quicker? Already thinking you're getting thicker.
Classic Album of the Week. X.
Classic Album of the Week, Arctic Monkeys' favourite worst nightmare, and I just played you Teddy Picker. Features B-sides by Death Ramps, an alias that Arctic use for collaborations with their Sheffield chum Richard Hawley and Miles Kane, of course. Speaking of Miles Kane, I played 505 first, one of my favourite, probably my favourite Arctic Monkeys song. The organ at the beginning is taken from Ennio Morricone's The Good, The Bad and The Ugly, clear example of their growing ambition and scope of the record. It's a live favourite, as you can imagine, and the band often perform it with the Last Shadow Puppets hero, Miles Kane, who I just mentioned. Check this out from Glastonbury in 2013. Here he comes. What a job, Miles Kane. That was such a special moment. That was the last song of Arctic Monkeys set at Glastonbury that year, and I think my daughter was about 3 months old at the time, and I remember losing my mind listening to that very special moment. Fluorescent Adolescent, which you can hear in the background, was co-written by Joanna Bennett, Alex Turner's girlfriend at the time. They wrote the song in a hotel room. Incidentally though, did you know Joanna's now married to Matthew Folliwell from Kings of Leon, the lead guitarist? Anyway, the music video was directed by Richard Ayoade. He's been a busy boy directing for cool bands, hasn't he? Done a bit for Kasabian as well. Featured a fight between clowns and the non-clowns. Alex Turner called it the best thing we've ever done, and Jamie Cook called it probably one of the best videos in the last, like, 10 years. Here's another kooky quote for you. The album title, Favourite Worst Nightmare, came from the song D is for Dangerous, the third song on the album, and the band said they also considered another name: Lesbian Wednesdays, Gordon Brown or Gary Barlow. Excellent, they have a way with words. That was Classic Album Chat tonight. You can hear it all again by getting the Evening Show podcast on Friday night.
Radio
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
I'm Gordon Smart with your Evening Show, and by the marvels of modern technology, we're joined by a great man tonight on the show. He's a prolific musician, I think we can say. We know him originally from The Million Dead, but since then, six albums. He's just about to release his seventh album. I'm absolutely thrilled to say that Frank Turner is with us by FaceTime. Frank, how are you doing?
I'm good. This is the first time I've ever done an interview by FaceTime, so I feel like I've just crashed into the 21st century. I'm in Austin, Texas for the South by Southwest Festival, which is a festival I've done many times before, and making friends and trying to play new songs and alert people to my existence.
So listen, you're out there, so you've obviously played a few gigs already. How has the new material gone down?
Generally great. I mean, you know, I'm always excited to play new material. It's sort of an interesting one this time around. A lot of the new stuff is the arrangement on the record is quite radically different for me. There's a bit of a kind of, there's much more kind of like dance, electro, pop kind of feel to a lot of the stuff, deliberately, obviously. That doesn't necessarily come across when it's just me and acoustic guitar, and the songs survive like that. But so that's been kind of fun. And then also, it's a bit more of a politically themed record this time around, which makes me a little nervous. I mean, obviously, I'm confident enough to put out the record, but you know, it's just interesting playing a song called Make America Great Again in front of an American crowd in Texas can be a little challenging sometimes. But you can't write a song like that and then not play it in Texas, you know?
I'm going to play the new single, world exclusive, first play on Radio X in just a second. But for your loyal fans, and by the way, you have probably the most loyal following going, is there any reason for them to be alarmed? Because when you start talking in those terms and saying this is taking a different direction, do you think they're going to be slightly alarmed or panicked by it?
I think it would be rude of me to say it in quite those terms. I think that there's some instrumentation and some kind of stylistic approaches which are new to me as a musician. I discovered the arpeggiator function on a synthesizer, and boy, are you about to hear about that.
New time.
But I mean, you know, it's not necessarily me kind of heading into new territory in terms of my taste in music. It's just the first time that this kind of stuff has really come out in the music that I make myself.
The single's called Blackout. We'll get to that in just a second. One of the things that jumped out to me when I was reading about you coming back is just 120 dates announced in the first raft of live gigs. Just only 120. That's slightly intimidating to look ahead to that amount of work, isn't it? And also, there are no festival days as part of them, so you'd imagine you've got a few big ones to manage.
We are sort of holding off the festivals this year because I think next year we're going to absolutely headbutt festival season in the face, is the plan. It's actually not that unusual for me because I usually have that many dates in the diary. What was different this time is we decided to announce them all in one go, which was one of those things that seemed like a brilliant idea until the day we actually did it, when all possible areas of my online presence went into complete meltdown.
Yeah.
I actually sort of put my phone in a cupboard and went for a long walk. It didn't need to be anywhere near what was going on social media. But no, it was you know, it's kind of fun to see that. The other thing is that we fooled everyone. What I mean by that is that actually going forward, we are starting to tour a little less hard than we used to, because 3 months of my touring career, I've got kids,
yeah.
I've got misses, I've got cat, which is sort of the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, we're not generally going out for more than about 4 weeks in a row anymore. And everyone's kind of failed to notice that because we announced so many in one go.
You did tell me though about your bad tattoo leg.
I do have a bad tattoo leg. I've got a lot of tattoos, and lots of the time, sort of friends want to kind of give me tattoos, or people at shows, you know, be like, I'm a tattoo artist, come to my shop, it's next door. And you're drunk and you're with your mates and tattoos start coming out. And I've learned over the years that the thing to do is to have an area reserved for the bad drunk tattoos.
Right.
And that is my left leg. So
what's
my left leg is covered in nonsense.
What's the worst
I've got
one?
A kangaroo with a unicorn horn.
No!
Yeah,
when
no,
was that
I
a good
really
idea?
Do. I've also got my mate Ben's initials. silly stuff.
Frank, thank you so much for this tonight, right? This is a world-exclusive first play on Radio X of your brand-new single. It's a huge privilege. Would you like to introduce it for us?
I would absolutely love to, because this record and the song in particular has been a long time in the gestation period, so it is sort of with great pride and pleasure and a bit of relief as well that I can announce to the world that this is the first single proper off my seventh album. The album's called Be More Kind and the song is called Blackout.
World-exclusive on Radio X, Blackout.
Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Now, producer Vin, I think it's that time of night where we can do a little bit of story time. Music, please. So I just played you Black Keys. What a great band they are. Another formidable two-piece, like an American version of Royal Blood. So a few years ago, I went over to Coachella Festival in California to interview Black Keys. It was great going backstage just before they went on and headlined the festival. And the one thing they really wanted to talk about might surprise you. You think they might talk about their music, about their instruments, about their latest album. No, all they wanted to discuss was their fierce rivalry with Arctic Monkeys and Ping Pong. Whiff Whaff, as Boris Johnson calls it, is the one thing that keeps their rivalry simmering. Huge fans of Arctic Monkeys, they both supported each other at various points around the world, and they are still firm friends. But the one thing that really keeps their relationship alive is the battle over table tennis. So there you go, something you might not expect between the Black Keys and what they have in common with Arctic Monkeys.
Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
That was the world-exclusive first play of Frank Turner's brand new single. It's called Blackout, and it's from the relentlessly positive album called Be More Kind. You've got a habit of finding an optimistic album title, Frank.
I do. I mean, the thing is, like, it's like, I actually, funnily enough, right now, I'm not actually particularly optimistic, basically. I just have this incorrigible sort of optimist hiding inside me, particularly when it comes to songwriting. I mean, there's definitely some material on the record which is far from optimistic, but... But I, you know, the title "Be More Kind" is taken from Clive James' poem, but it's a suggestion for a first step. I don't think that I'm going to save the world with 42 minutes of rock and roll, and I don't think that everyone just trying to be a little kinder to each other will solve the world's problems. But it's not a bad first step.
That's good effort, good effort. And on the subject of positivity, I thought I'd ask you a question. I'm sure in every interview you're asked about performing first at the London Olympics, a really famous moment, an iconic moment,
yep.
A really special thing. But we are not interested in that, Frank. We don't want to know about your amazing gigs where the world saluted you. We want to know about the ones that make your blood run cold. What's the worst gig you've played?
Well, I've got a few I could choose from. I think last night I played my 2137th show.
Do you keep a note?
I do. I've got a list.
Wow.
It's on my website if people want to have a look. But the one that immediately springs to mind was in Sayreville, New Jersey, which is a sort of an interesting place in South Jersey. It is where Bon Jovi is from, apparently.
Right.
Anyway, I was doing a show there, and the bill that had been advertised to the public was me first on solo, at a time when no one knew who I was in the States, and then Sum 41, and then The Offspring. And the actual bill on the night was local competition winner, me solo, The Offspring.
Right.
And the local competition winners, bless them, weren't brilliant. And the crowd of drunk Offspring fans, and it's kind of an army town, were sort of restless after them. But they were looking forward to Sum 41 because they'd assumed that local competition winner was whatever Frank Turner was. So I came on, and it just started badly and got worse.
Oh, no.
They were not in the mood for acoustic guitars. And because I'm slightly sort of contrarian, once it started going badly, I started playing sort of traditional English songs and Simon and Garfunkel covers and sort of trying to get quieter and folkier just because it was irritating me that they were being... Under a hail of coins and spit, I left the stage a little bit early, I'll be honest.
Wow.
And the promoter just sort of went, there's the back door, you should probably go now rather than at the end. But two things. First of all, The Offspring apologised to me the following day because I was on tour with them at a certain time and they were sweethearts about it. And I have been back to that exact venue in Sayreville, New Jersey since and had one of the best shows of my career. So I have made my peace with Sayreville.
You fixed it. For some reason, I've got this idea in my head of you playing Green Sleeves to a crowd of punks.
It wasn't quite Green Sleeves, but yeah, if there's one thing that's going to really set a bunch of drunk pop punk fans off, it's singing an a cappella traditional.
Good man. Frank, it's such a pleasure to have you on. Really appreciate it. Best of luck with the new album. As I say, it's relentlessly positive, but with some dark bits as well. Be more kind is the message that
you're
sending to people. And thanks for the first play as well of the single, Frank. I think it's going to be brilliant.
My pleasure. Thanks for the first ever FaceTime interview I've ever done in my life. It's been exciting.
It's an interview of firsts. Frank, get back to your lovely Airbnb in Austin, Texas, and we'll catch up really soon.
Radio. X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
I'm about to do something reckless. I'm Gordon Smart. I'm about to dip my toe in dangerous water on the evening show. Inter-county rivalry. Last week, you might have seen that Noel Gallagher piled into Hull, really put the boot in when he was on stage in Austin, Texas. There are a bunch of lads at the gig from Hull chanting about the former city of culture in East Yorkshire. So Lancashire lad Noel called him out, had a bit of banter with him and said, the best thing about Hull is the bridge, among some other expletives and naughty words. Unsurprisingly, everyone from Hull has taken the hump with Noel, and now some other Yorkshiremen are lining up in defence of the city. And you could expect that Hull's formidable rugby league side to stand firm just like this. So the Cribs, who are from Wakefield, posted a pic on Instagram captioned, we were in Hull recently, we love Hull. Always have, always will. Who else is going to join this fight? Paul Heaton from the beautiful South? I don't know, but there you go. People fighting back against Noel's slagging off Hull. So we're going to go back to Lancashire with Noel's Manc band singing a song about a Wigan legend. Is that confusing enough? This is Oasis, a classic. It's a Cast No Shadow on Radio X.
Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
I'm Gordon Smart. This is the evening show on Radio X, and I'm pleased to say Bobo the Chimp has joined us in the studio. He's got a £20,000 Afghan rug. He's the rich man's Jimmy Carr, but writes his own jokes. I'm thrilled to say that Ricky Gervais is in the studio. Hiya, Ricky.
I love that intro. I loved it for so many reasons, even though people tuning in and go, who's Bobo the Chimp? You had to be there.
We should explain though, shouldn't we?
Yeah.
Netflix, Humanity's coming out, your stand-up show.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal, Ricky, because
I
feel like people are far too safe these days, and I'm terrified every time I speak into the microphone in case there's an outraged person somewhere. But you just don't really care about what people think of
them. I think you mustn't worry about people being offended, because someone somewhere would be offended by anything you say.
Yeah.
Some people look for offence, you know, and I've always said it, just because you're offended, it doesn't mean you're right. Some people are offended by equality, so what? I think if there's no subject you can't discuss intelligently or even joke about. It depends on what the joke is. And someone somewhere is going to not like what you say, but if you're saying anything of interest, you should polarise, because imagine saying something so anodyne that no one was offended. What's the point?
Exactly. I've got something that probably polarises for both you and me, right? You used to be off this parish when we were at XFM.
Yeah.
I really struggle every time I walk in this building because I don't know how to shake Courtney's hand. And I think when you come in, you have the same issue with that, right? He was at the door every time you came in. He wants to cuddle you sometimes. Sometimes he didn't speak to you at all. What did I do?
There's nothing wrong with a cuddle, but I do have that anxiety. You know, when I do a chat show, do I shake the hand? Do I go in for the hug? What if they do I curtsy? What do I do? You think about that, right?
Yeah.
I think about things like, I remember the first time I did Parkinson's show.
Yeah.
I don't care about what I say or what I do. I was thinking, you've got to come downstairs. And I got special shoes with a grip.
Slippy shoes.
So I didn't slip down the stairs. Yeah, so no, I've never worried about Be an interviewed or conversation or saying the wrong thing, because that's so relative. If you're looking to be offended or find someone offended by you, you'll find it. But it's virtual, yeah. You know. As I say in the show, they're not coming to the house. You know, yeah. Who cares?
But do you ever get that? Somebody must have turned up at some point, banging on the door to have a little quote about religion.
No, I've got a team of marksmen, laser, electric fences, yeah. And crocodile moat. So
tell us then, what, you know, you've done the Golden Globes and all these huge events. What's the worst gig you've done? The one that makes your blood run cold?
They're not great. The Golden Globes isn't a great gig, yeah. Right? Because it's one of those award shows that's better to be at than performing, you know. Yeah. It's tables and they're getting drunk, which is great to be
that
at,
helps.
Right? But it's not great for comedians. I have to shut them up. They're talking, and I realised that the first time, I think, you know, even last time, I said, be quiet, you disgusting pill-popping deviant scum. You've got to get their attention, right? Yeah. And it gets worse, because, you know, every category, there's three more people that lost.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I'd say that's not a great comedy gig, so you've got to really go for it. But I do it for the people at home.
Yeah.
And actually, on telly, it
don't matter.
You know, you nail your jokes. That's what you do. You go out there and you nail your jokes, because there's 200 people in the room and there's 200 million people watching around the globe,
and
so that's who I do it for. Yeah,
and they love it. Right, more from Ricky Gervais in just a second.
Radio X,
the Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
I'm Gordon Smart with your evening show, and I'm about to talk you through the sound of one of our favourite bands here at Radio X. Let's explore the influences of Okjay. So Okjay are one of the most complex, innovative and interesting bands around. They really are a bright bunch, but they still know how to write big hits. They've won the Mercury Prize and they're definitely the hipster's choice, but Okjay have still managed to please millions of fans, drawing massive crowds at festivals. Just like another band they love, Radiohead. That's Radiohead. Although you might not know the tune, it's an obscure album track from In Rainbows called Bangers and Mash. But why am I playing you this? Well, take a listen. Does that remind you of anyone? Those weird offbeat drums and guitar lines sound very Okjay to me. And of course, there's that unmistakable vocal style. Check out Thom Yorke here. Joel from Okjay is definitely a fan. Here he is, have a close listen to this. There you go, that's a similarity you cannot ignore. And if you think I'm making this up, and it's just a coincidence that Okjay and Radiohead sound similar, then let me offer some more proof. Gus, Thom and Joe from Okjay joined me on the evening show last year, and I asked them to pick their favourite British song. Here's the evidence in what they had to say. Can I ask you as a band to give us your nomination for this year's Best of British Poll?
Well, we've just had a chat about it and we decided to go with Radiohead, Where I End and You Begin from Hail to the Thief.
Radiohead is sort of all of our favourite band, really, yeah. So it's just a choice of picking one of their many awesome songs.
So there you go, Okjay are massive Radiohead fans, it's undeniable.
Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Now, I'm still joined by Ricky Gervais. He first came to my attention on the 11 o'clock show. He's since become a Hollywood superstar by the means of David Brent, then through to hosting huge events like the Golden Globes and many other movies in between, Night at the Museum 2, The Muppets Movie, other things that I won't mention as well. So, when you've been at these things like the Golden Globes, you're surrounded by loads of famous faces. Now, I'm writing a really lowbrow toilet reading book called Slash Gordon. Terrible pun, but it's about awkward.
Slash Gordon. Amazing.
Awkward pun, right? But awkward.
That's where the title came before anything.
Yeah. I could make something work
exactly,
out of that.
Yeah.
So it was all about awkward encounters in the bathroom. I found myself trying to make small talk quite often with famous people we just happened to bump into in the toilet.
Yeah.
And we want to carry on as a chain. So the idea was mine was Sean Connery, who's the most famous person he peed beside and had an awkward conversation with. So the answers we've had are like Shaquille O'Neal, not a man you want to be next to at the urinal, 7'6" of him.
I know.
I was at
the basketball, I was at the Knicks, me and my girlfriend, front row seats, right?
Yeah.
And Evander Holyfield came and sat next to Jane.
Yeah.
And she went to me, oh, he's taking up all the chair, right? I went, what am I going to take him off?
Yeah.
What am I going to take out Evander Holyfield.
Bite his other ear. So, was it, did you not once have a little trip with Joe Calzaghe to the boxing in New York where you found yourself having an awkward one?
Right, so me and Jane were invited ringside VIP seats in New York to see the, I think it was Jones... Roy Jones.
Roy Jones Jr. Yeah, yeah.
And it was Michael Douglas and Danny DeVito. Everyone's there. Right? I thought, this is amazing, right? And then it started annoying me that I was the only fight fan.
Yeah.
That everyone else was talking. They just had drinks. I was thinking, I mean, you know. And then I went to the toilet, and there's a lot of testosterone. But the, it's 90% male, right? Yeah. Everyone's bigger than me. Everyone's tougher than me. I'm in the urinal, right? At the urinal, I'm actually urinating. Yeah. Bloke comes in and goes, Ricky Gervais. I went, can I have a selfie? I went, he just grabbed me, hugged me, and took a selfie. So... Again, I'm not a brave man, so I just took it.
You just went with it?
I just took it.
This is even a show on Radio X. Ricky, do you mind hanging around?
No.
Oh, great.
No, I don't mind.
All right, that's good.
Radio.
Radio.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Now, last year, Richard Ashcroft came in to visit us. He's got a real presence about him, a combination of great songwriting and some unbelievable jackets. The last time he came in, he had something orange on. And by orange, I mean luminous orange. Anyway, he's written songs that will last forever. The Drugs Don't Work... Oh, and God, there's plenty in there, but Drugs Don't Work in particular has to be up there with some of the most memorable British singles ever. Ashcroft wrote it in 95, released it in 1997, and it can still reduce you to tears. Not embarrassed to admit, it's tipped me over the edge a few times as well. So back in the day, he told Select magazine, the brilliant Select magazine, there's a new track I've just written. It goes, the drugs don't work, they just make me worse, and I know I'll see your face again. That's how I'm feeling at the moment. They make me worse, man. Out of boredom and frustration, you turn to something else to escape. But over the years and since then, the lyrics have been linked to both the death of his father, who died from a blood clot when Richard was just 11, and his wife Kate's father, who died of cancer. Apparently, most of the song was written at his father-in-law's bedside. So think about those lyrics. And I hope you're thinking of me as you lay down on your side, as well as, now the drugs don't work, they just make you worse, but I know I'll see your face again. Incredible to think such a personal thing could be turned into a song that means so much to so many. What a legacy for Ashcroft's family.
Radio.
Radio.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Now, Ricky Gervais is still here, a hugely talented and massively successful man. Still lives in North London, though. He hasn't disappeared to the Hollywood Hills, but he has got an incredible history behind him now. He has come back to see us tonight about his latest show, Humanity, which I can tell you is the kind of controversy you expect and hope from Ricky Gervais. Has there ever been a moment where you thought, I would quite like to have my picture taken with this person? Because I know, like, obviously, David Bowie was a huge hero of yours.
Yeah.
And you met him a couple of times. You worked with him a couple of times.
Quite good friends.
Do you become fanboy around him a little bit?
Well, no, it's funny because with Bowie, I sort of had to remind myself, once you got to know him and you're having a laugh and he's a normal bloke, and he is a normal bloke, you know. In fact, the first time I went to his apartment in New York, the doorman said, oh, you're here to see Mr. Jones? I went, oh, yeah, of course I am. David Bowie doesn't really exist. Wow. You know, I saw Mr. Jones. Mr. Jones was my mate. Mr. Bowie was my hero. Yeah. And you sort of, you don't equate the two. You don't keep thinking, that's David Bowie. You know, I think people think of me talking to David Bowie and he's still got the Ziggy stripe on. Yeah, and he's talking about aliens and stuff. He's not. He's talking about bananas and pasta and, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And anyone I want to take a photo with, I don't think I've ever asked.
No, Ricky, before you leave, can you just tell us, when can we watch the stand-up show on Netflix?
Look, it's always there. It's always there.
That's great, Ricky. Great to see you. Thanks for coming in. Cheers. Welcome back to your old parish. It's been a pleasure.
Oh, it's nice to be back. All different now.
It's a bit shinier than when you were in. It smells a bit better.
I tell you, when XFM first started, right, 1997, we launched the day after Princess Diana died, which is not a great time to launch a show. It was in a house in Charlotte Street, right? And it was so low-key, right, that I had the keys to the building. That's what it was like.
Really? Have you still got them? Oh, cheers, Ricky. Thanks for
coming.
Cheers,
my pleasure.
Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Thank you very much for listening to the Evening Show podcast with me, Gordon Smart, and producer Ben. Now he's gone. We'll be back with another episode next week. Come and get involved in that.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Radio X.